السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, شيخ؟
فاين، الحمد لله الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. شيخ, currently we don't have any students in class. Do you want to wait till the first student or should we start?
You want us to wait a little bit? No need. We'll start.
Inshallah, we can start. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear respected students, may Allah bless you all for your attendance. Today we are covering the Days of Ignorance by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab Muhammad Ali. Just a quick reminder, please take notes, listen attentively, and send your questions over to me throughout the course of the lesson. With that said, I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to start the lesson. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، Today is our weekly class, the Masail al-Jahiliyyah, the Issues of Jahiliyyah, by Sheikh Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. And we reach the Mas'ala number 19. Number 19. قدحهم في بعض الصالحين بفعل بعض المنتسبين إليهم، كقدح اليهود في عيسى عليه السلام، وقدح اليهود والنصارى في محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So this is the 19th issue of Jahiliyyah. The people of Jahiliyyah slandered and accused the righteous people based on the actions of others who are ascribed themselves to these righteous people. An example of this found in the Jews slander of Isa alayhi salam, and the Christians and Jews slander of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is one of the characteristics of the people of Jahiliyyah, that they accuse others, righteous people, prophets, and good men, because some of their followers did something. So they use that as an excuse to attack the prophet or to attack that pious person. And as we know, that you cannot hold me accountable for somebody's actions. That person is responsible and accountable. But because they have this disease in their heart, they are just looking for any excuse so that they can attack the character of this prophet. So this is one of the traits and characteristics of the people of Jahiliyyah. قَدْحُهُمْ فِي بَعْضُ الصَّالِحِينَ. So they attack and they slander and accuse righteous people. Why? بِفِعْلِ بَعْضِ الْمُنْتَسِبِينَ إِلَيْهِ. Because some of their followers, okay, or who claim that they are from among them, their followers, did something. And then the sheikh is saying, كَقَدْحِ الْيَهُودِ بِعِيسَى. Like the Jews, they insulted and accused Isa alayhi salam and slandered him and slandered his mother, as we're going to know. And also the Jews and the Christians, they also slandered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So here, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refutes the claims of such people that you have no right to slander people who are innocent. And not everything is ascribed to a prophet must be part of his religion or his deen or his message. Okay? Not everything. People, they invented things and they ascribed them to certain prophets. Like those who ascribed the sorcery and witchcraft magic to Sulaiman alayhi salam, when we know Sulaiman alayhi salam never practiced sorcery or witchcraft. Or those who ascribe their false beliefs and false religion to Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we discussed in the previous one, Masala. That this is the deen and this is the religion of Ibrahim, when the truth is the opposite. The deen of Ibrahim is monotheism. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he clarified this misconception. And he defended his pious servant and righteous servant. So here, when they accused Mary, Maryam alayhi salam, al-Batul, see how the Quran talks about her and the Sunnah, al-Batul, the pure lady, most chaste woman, Madonna. That's the meaning, title for Mary, Madonna, Betul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he defended and he exposed those who attacked her, Maryam alayhi salam. Because as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared Mary, Maryam, for that great miracle to conceive without husband, without any man touching her. Because when Mary was in her mother's womb, her mother prayed to Allah and she vowed, she made nadr, and she stated, "Oh my Lord, make my progeny, make what I bear, make what I carry in my womb." Okay, a devout servant to worship you. And she was praying to have baby boy so he will work in the house of Allah. That was her prayers, her dua. But when she delivered, she was a baby girl. And that's why she said, cry to Allah. Oh, she's a baby girl. وإني وضعتها أنثى وليس الذكر كالأنثى. I gave birth to a baby girl, not a boy. And the male is not equal to the female. That's what she said. And Allah, of course, approved of what she said, that the male is not like the female. Everyone has his own function, a role to play. Yet, she was working in the house of Allah, in the masjid. Serving in the house of Allah. So she grew up in an atmosphere of piety and righteousness. And her caretaker, guardian, the one who was looking after her, was Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam. To take care of Maryam. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا. Every time Zakaria عليه السلام would enter and would come to Maryam, he would find with her sustenance, provision, rizq. The commentators, the Mufassirun, they said, in winter, he would find fruit of summer. And in summer, fruit that are supposed to be in winter, different seasons. So he would question her. How did you get this? And she would reply, just from Allah. Allah provides without measure. So these miracles were happening to her. Allah providing this food for her to get used that something miraculous also is going to happen. And she conceived miraculously. And we Muslims believe in that. And we believe in the what the Christian call the virgin birth. Isa was born without any contact with a man. And you'll be surprised. We Muslims talk about this issue that Isa was born miraculously. Christians, they don't talk about that. You know why? One of the ulama said, because if they talk about this, that Isa was born miraculously, no father, Muslim, they will ask them that we Muslims believe that he spoke in the cradle. They don't talk about that Jesus Christ spoke in the cradle. If they say that, we Muslims are going to ask them, what did he say when he spoke? Qala inni Abdullah. That's what he said. I am the servant of Allah. So they cannot say that Jesus said, I am a slave of Allah, servant of Allah, because this knocks down and finishes Christianity. Because they are saying he's God, God incarnate. So Jesus Christ was God. And some groups of the Christians, they consider Mary the mother of God. And they worship Mary. That's why they don't talk that Jesus spoke in the cradle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Maryam alayhi salam was accused, okay, she became pregnant and she gave birth to Isa alayhi salam. And when she was having the labors, going through the labor, the contractions, Allah told her to go and sit under a date palm tree. وَهُزِّ إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. When she was going through that, the pain and the labor, Allah told her, okay, shake the trunk of the date palm tree. And ripe dates will fall down. We know the trunk of a date palm tree is so thick, even a man or two men or strong men cannot shake it. And Allah is telling her, Wahuzzi, shake it. But Allah just asking her, just do what you can, okay? You will not shake it by your own strength, but just do it. And she did. And Allah has promised her the live date will fall. When she was going through the labor, she cried to Allah and wished that she died before that day, because she was thinking, what am I going to tell my people? What am I going to tell them? Who's going to believe me? No one is going to believe me. That's why she wished that she died before that Very moment. But Allah made her baby the proof of her innocence. فأتت به تحمله. So when she came to her people carrying her baby, they asked her, يخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغية. O sister of Aaron. Of course, there's a gap between her and Harun, Aaron, the brother of Musa alayhi salam. So the Orientalists and the Bible thumpers, they say the Quran doesn't know the gap and the duration between the two. How can she be sister of Harun? The Prophet ﷺ explained that. He said it was the custom among Bani Israel, okay, to name after their prophets. So they named their children Harun and Musa and things like that. So here, what they meant, O sister of Aaron, they don't mean biological sister, no. They mean she is from that lineage, from that tree of prophets. You are descendant of holy men, descendant of noble people, good people, righteous people. So this is not expected from you to do some a shameful deed. That's why they said, "O sister of Aaron," and then they added, "Ma kana abuki imra'a sow." Your father was not a wicked person. وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيًّا. Neither your father was a wicked, immoral person, nor your mother. She was not an unchaste woman. So why you did this and you brought disgrace to your family? So they are accusing her. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. He didn't talk, just pointed, but pointed towards Isa, this baby. قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبي. How can we talk to a babe? A baby in the cradle. He spoke. Isa, قال إني عبد الله. أتاني الكتاب. And the servants of Allah. That's why they will not talk about this. So the proof was established, was given, that this child was born miraculously, no biological father. And if you read the Bible, they will tell you the genealogy of Jesus Christ. How come he will have genealogy when he has no biological father? And they're saying that his father, Joseph the carpenter, because they say she was engaged to Joseph the carpenter. So Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, 156. وبكفرهم وبكفرهم وقولهم على مريم بهتانا عظيما. بهتان. You know, the بهتان is to accuse someone falsely, lying. The accusation has no basis. This is the بهتان. That's why in the hadith, if you mention your brother or your sister in his absence or her absence, وَقَدْ اغْتَبْتَهُ, that is غِيبَة, backbiting. You mention something about your brother or your sister, though it is true, that is غِيبَة. But if what you mention is not true, that is بُهْتَان. بُهْتَان, greater, graver. So both the غِيبَة is haram and the بُهْتَان is haram. وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. And for the denial and outrageous accusation against Mary. So they disbelieved, they didn't accept Isa alayhi salam. The Jews, they did not accept him. And that's why Allah says about the what will happen in the future, Isa alayhi salam, when he comes down, all the people of the scripture, they will accept him, Jews and Christians. وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلِيمٌ شَهِيدًا. No one from among the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, when he comes back, except that they will believe in him. And on the day of resurrection, he will be a witness against them. Because when Isa comes, and this is what we Muslims believe, and this ayah, the prophecy, is not fulfilled, it will be fulfilled when he comes down, Isa comes again to this world, and he was raised alive. And then he will, you know, what will happen? He is the one, Isa alayhi salam, is the one who's going to kill the Antichrist. The Messiah Dajjal, Isa is going to kill him with the spear near the Lud, where the international airport in Tel Aviv, Lud airport, that area. So Isa is the one who's going to kill the Antichrist. And he will show the blood of the Antichrist on the head of the spear to the believers, the Muslims, because he will descend Fajr time, placing his two hands on the wings of the angels. And he will find the Muslims straightening their rows for Salah, their Imam Muhammad Abdullah al-Mahdi. He will ask Isa alayhi salam to lead. He said, no, you lead. Because Isa, when he comes back, he will not come with a new law. He will follow the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then they will hear about the Antichrist, the Dajjal, and Isa will chase him and kill him. And after that, Gog and Magog, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they will come out from the place which they are in now, trapped behind this huge wall. And Allah will tell Isa alayhi salam, take the believers with you to the mountains, because you cannot fight them. You have no power and strength to defeat Gog and Magog. So seek shelter in the mountains. And Isa alayhi salam with the believers, Mu'minun, will seek shelter in the mountains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy Gog and Magog by sending worms, eating them in their necks. Then Allah will send birds to take their bodies somewhere. And then the sky will rain and cleanse and clean the land. That time will be the best time for someone to live. And after that, Isa alayhi salam will come to Mecca, perform Hajj, and after that he will die, alayhi salam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, go bi kufrihim wa qawlihim ala Maryama buhtanan azeema, and for their kufr, the disbelief and denial, and their buhtan, this great outrageous accusation against Mary, because they say she is unchaste woman. That's what they said. And then the ayah to follow, Allah said, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وما قتلوه وما صلبوه ولكن شبه لهم وإن الذين اختلفوا فيه لفي شك منه ما لهم به من علم إلا اتباع الظن وما قتلوه يقينا. And for boasting, they were boasting that we killed the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary. Those who did not believe in him, as if you read the Bible, they were not, his students even were not with him when this crucifixion took place. So Isa was ascended, we Muslims believe, was taken up. So who was put on the cross, who was crucified? Christians should answer that. Okay. We Muslims believe that Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, was taken up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read in the books of the tafsir, some of the commentators, they took this information from the people of the scriptures that somebody, another person, okay, resembled and looked like Isa and he was crucified. We Muslims will say, we don't believe he was crucified. We don't believe he was put on the cross. He was taken out. You are saying somebody was on the cross and he was shouting, my Lord, why did you forsake me? You should answer and tell us who was that person. Sheikh Ahmad Didat Rahimahullah tried to use that, of course, for the sake of argument. He said, even if we accept according to what your Bible says, he was not killed or crucified. Because after 3 days, the tomb was empty, which means he was not dead. He came out. Yes, he used that argument to even to refute, then even if someone for the accepted the narration or that narrative. But we Muslims believe he was never killed, nor he was crucified. Allah saved him and Allah took him up. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ. And for boasting, we killed the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they neither killed him nor crucified him. It was only made to appear so. Even those who argue for this crucifixion are in doubt. They have no knowledge whatsoever, only making assumptions, guessing, conjecture. They certainly did not kill him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated the crucifixion and the killing of Isa. So let us ponder on this beautiful ayah. وَقَوْلِهِمْ, and they claim. That's what they say. إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ. So they were proud, they were boasting that we killed the Messiah. And the Masih, al-Masih, means anointed. Anointed. Because it was the custom and the habit among them to apply oil to those who are appointed. So Masih is the one who is rubbed with oil, Christos, translated Christ. Inna qatalna al-Masiha. So they are saying he is al-Masih, the Messiah, Isa, Ibn Maryam, Jesus Christ, son of Mary. We killed him. Rasulullah. So they are happy and they are boasting that they killed one of Allah's messengers. And Allah said, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَوْهُ. Two things. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَوْهُ. So what is the difference? قَتَلُوهُ, killed him. صَلَبُوهُ, crucified him. Killed him on the cross. You put someone, you crucify someone, you put him in the cross, and you kill him by crucifying him, by putting him in the cross until he dies. That's called salb, crucifixion. So Allah denied that he was not killed in any other way, by sword or by stabbing him. No. Nothing like of that sort happened. Neither that, nor that he was killed on the cross. So Allah negated both scenarios. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. And what's the difference between al-qatlu wal-maut? Killing, you kill someone, or to die naturally? What is the difference? The ulama, they say, al-qatl, killing, you cause a damage to the body, which will cause death. So when you kill someone, you have to cause some damage to the body. By bullet, by knife, by strangling, by poisoning, you have to cause some damage to the body. That is the qatl. And then it will lead to death. Whereas the natural death, no damage happened. This body was not touched, was not attacked. So the soul came out naturally. That's the natural death. So Allah is saying, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ. So they killed him not by any means, neither they killed him, nor that they caused him to die by crucifying him. Allah denied that. So what happened? Allah tells us what happened. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. Should be halal. It was only made to appear so to them. The people of the scripture, they tell us. They said, the one who betrayed Isa, he appeared to them that he was Christ. So they crucified him. Walakin should be halahum. Then Allah tells us. Because they were in doubt. Was that Christ? Whom did we put? Whom did we arrest? وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهِ. They were in doubt. Even those who argue for this crucifixion, they are in doubt. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. They have no certain knowledge whatsoever. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. So they have no concrete knowledge, certainty that they killed Isa alayhi salam. They're not sure. إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. Except following the dhann, assumption, conjecture, guessing. The Bible tells us that no one of his disciples was there. So every all these narrations, he has said, they heard from others. No one saw with his own eyes. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. Allah then ended the ayah. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. They certainly did not kill him. They didn't kill Isa. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. Well, certainly they killed him not. So what happened, our Lord? What happened to Isa, to your servant? The ayah to follow. بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. بَلْ When you hear this, it means you cancel whatever was said before. اضرب عليه كانسلت all the what they said and they claimed. The truth is, I'm telling you, بل رفعه الله إليه. Rather, Allah raised him up to himself. وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. And Allah is almighty, all wise. So Isa was raised alive, body and soul. He was not killed. He was neither killed nor was he crucified, died on the cross. So the whole belief which Christendom is based upon, the crucifixion, that Christ died for our sins, because of the sin that our father committed in heaven, it is passed to us, inherited to us. And there's no way for expiation except through the blood of Isa alayhi salam, of Christ. So we Muslims, in the belief of the Christians, we have this inherited sin. No matter what you do, your good deeds, you fast, you do hajj, you're going to hell because of that inherited sin. How can I get rid of this inherited sin? To believe that Jesus Christ, alayhi salam, died for your sins. Then that sin will be removed and you will not be held accountable. That's why you have to be baptized to wash you from this inherited sin. See the beauty of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, every child is born sinless. No sin. Because they say, no, a child comes with that inherited sin. The Prophet ﷺ, he saw the children who died before reaching the age of puberty in the Jannah around Ibrahim alayhi salam. So there is nothing called inherited sin. Because when Adam alayhi salam was brought down to the earth, he and our mother Eve turned to Allah and cried to Allah and repented, and Allah granted them his forgiveness. فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Adam received supplications from Allah, and he cried to Allah, and Allah forgave him. That's simple. There's nothing called inherited sin. But the belief of the Christians, no, there is inherited sin, and God has to sacrifice by killing his own son. And this son is God, but at the same time, so God has to kill himself. Try to convince us, what's this? God killing himself, killing his son. His son didn't do anything. Why should he kill his son? For the sin of somebody else. So Isa alayhi salam, that's why the Christian masakin, really, they are very, very miskeen. They are very, you feel pity for them. Because this doctrine, the whole doctrine of the Holy Trinity, is concocted and made up by Saul or Paul. He's the one who concocted and invented this doctrine. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And he's the one who came with the idea that God incarnate, God came into earth in the form of a human being. Paul is the one behind it. Because this idea, God comes in the form of a human being into earth, to this planet, and live as a human being, is there in other beliefs. And this happened, occurred in other beliefs many times. God comes and left, came and left, came and left. But Paul said, no, it happens only once in the person of Christ. So they tell you, Christ has dual nature, divine and human. May Allah guide them, really. May Allah guide them. That's why Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, he cried when he saw the monk performing ablution in his way to Jerusalem. He cried. He cried. Sayyidina Umar cried, wept. Why? He said, Amilatun Nasirah. A hard worker. He's working and thinking he is going to achieve salvation. But all these deeds are in vain. They are in vain. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, da'wah is our business. So if you have Christian around you, give them da'wah. Talk to them. Read to them Surah Maryam. Let them see and hear what the Quran says about Isa alayhi salam and his mother and the nature of Christ. How three are one, and they tell you it is a mystery. They tell you, mystery, you have to take it on faith. You cannot understand it. May Allah guide them. So Allah says, no. Allah raised him up. No inherited sin. Our Prophet ﷺ said, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة فأبواه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه. Every child is born upon the fitra, the natural disposition, that innate nature believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a child is left without any external influences, this child will turn to worship Allah. But the child, his fitrah, will be clouded, polluted by the parents. In the YouTube, there is a small child asking her father, the fitrah, how can Isa be God? God is not a human being. So it is the parents who can make the child Christian or a Jew or Zoroastrian, because he's born Muslim. بل رفعه الله إليه. Indeed, rather, Allah raised him up to himself, alive. عيسى عليه السلام. وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. Always, always, my dear brothers and sisters, when you are reading the ayat, see how Allah ends the ayah. And see the names, divine names of Allah, the most beautiful names used. Here, two names, Aziz and Hakim. وكان الله عزيزا. Because here, the context talks about Allah's power, Allah's might. He saved his own prophet. Saved his prophet from being killed. Because Allah Aziz, no one can defeat him. Hakima. Nothing happens in his kingdom. Nothing happens in his kingdom without wisdom behind it. Everything happens in his kingdom according to the divine wisdom of Allah. Everything. That's why everything happens is khair, good. Though we might perceive it as evil. Now, the Prophet ﷺ said and used to say in the dua, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. And evil, evil cannot be attributed to you. It's not from you. Evil comes from us, our deeds, human beings. That's it. Not from Allah. All forms of evil, you see, because of human beings. Killing each other because of greed. They are killing each other. That greed, they want to dominate. They want to control everything, confiscate everything. So the evil comes from us, the human beings, not from Allah. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Fasad, corruption, evil, appeared on land and the sea because of what the hands, human hands, earned. And gained. So the evil is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What comes from Allah is good, pure good, khayr. And there's hikmah, wisdom. Always keep this in mind. There is hikmah. Whatever happens in Allah's kingdom, whatever happens in this world, there's wisdom behind it. Reason behind it. Subhanallah. A brother sent a clip that in Europe, one of the imams in the Islamic center is telling him, people are coming to Islam in great number. Thousands and thousands are embracing Islam. And all of them, you ask them, what made you to think about Islam? All of them, Gaza, 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 Gaza. When we saw the the steadfastness and the patience of the Muslims there that astonished us. And we wanted to know what is the secret behind it. And we were told Islam, and then we started to ask. And we were told that because of the Quran. So we started reading the Quran, and we found the answer to all our problems, all our questions. Everything is there. So that's why we are becoming Muslims. Thousands and thousands and thousands are becoming Muslims. Yes, thousands met Allah, inshallah, to the Jannah, and thousands are coming in. Because Allah is Aziz and Hakim. بل رفعه الله إليه وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. Always keep in mind Allah is Aziz and Hakim. Then the ayah 159. So these are 156 to 159 Surah An-Nisa. Allah says, وَإِنْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. Every one of the people of the scripture, people of the book, will definitely believe in him, that is Christ, before his death. And on the day of judgment, Jesus will be a witness against them. So here, this is the prophecy that hasn't been fulfilled because the Jews, they did not accept Christ. So they're going to accept him when he comes back. But the ayah is saying, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, no single one, no one of the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, accept that he will believe in him, in Isa alayhi salam, before his death, because he's going to die. He hasn't died. يوم القيامة, on the day of resurrection, Isa alayhi salam will be a witness against them. That's why the hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَيُشَكَنَّ أَنْ يَنْزَلْ فِيكُمْ أَبْنُ مَرْيَمْ حَكَمًا عَدْلًا فَيَكْسِرُ الصَّلِيبُ وَيَكْتُرُ الْخِنْزِيرُ وَيَضَعُ الْجِزْيَةِ. It's about time that Jesus, son of Mary, will descend and he will break the crucifix, kill the swine, and cancel the jizya. Because the jizya is taken, which is the tax, is taken from the people of the scripture and paid to the Muslim state, because the Muslim state has to protect them. So they give the jizya. And they remain upon their faith, practicing their belief. But when Isa comes, he tells them, no. No, you cannot stay as you are, because I did not die for your sins. So you have to become Muslims. I am a Muslim, and you have to become a Muslim. Believe in one God, in the oneness of Allah. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. And on the day of resurrection, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, judgment, Isa will be a witness against them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide those who are in the dark, guide those who went astray, and bring them to the right path. Amen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we breathe our last and find Allah pleased with all of us. Amen. May Allah forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haqq and unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen wa alaikum salam. Sheikh, I've sent you the questions. Please, can you confirm if you received them?
1 minute. Okay, go ahead, Akhi. I'll read the questions.
The first question, my elderly mother-in-law can't sleep due to some health issues. Can she take sleeping tablets?
Okay, so his mother-in-law cannot sleep due to some health issues. Can she take sleeping tablets? The doctor will decide if it is mandatory. Okay, and otherwise the person will have insomnia and this will affect his health, and the doctor knows the root cause, and so these sleeping tablets will help, and they have no side effect at all. This is the doctor will decide. So the doctor said, okay, this is recommended for the time being, then inshallah there is no harm. Next question.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question. Are dishes with gold color around the edge, is it allowed to use them? Some has gold color pot to make tea. Is it allowed to accept tea from them?
No, no, it's not allowed. You do. You stay away from them. Whether it is coated, it is purely gold or silver, you don't drink in them. The same thing, the spoons, you don't use them. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. They are for them, for the non-believers, and for you there in the Jannah. In the Jannah, you will drink in cups of gold and spoons of gold, everything in the Jannah, not here. And this is also a sign of extravagance. Okay. Next.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question. Is bone china dishes allowed to use?
What this dish is made of bones?
It's made of bone ash, which is made from animal bones, usually that of a cow. And it's mixed with ceramic material.
So what are the ingredients? Ashes?
The ash of usually a cow bone, and it's mixed with ceramic.
Avoid them. Avoid them. Don't use them. And the Prophet ﷺ told us, leave what you doubt to that which you don't doubt. If even here, you might come across some fatwas telling you it is permissible because it has converted into a different nature, different substance now. It's not bones anymore, and treated chemically with other things and other ingredients. So it is now a new project or different, but to be on the safe side, stay away. I'm not saying it's haram, but stay away. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ دِينَكُمْ الْوَرَعَ. Best part of your deen is al-wara', fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoiding any doubtful matters. And the other hadith, he said, دَعْمَا يُرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُ. Leave what you doubt to that which you don't doubt. Because there are other dishes there. So I hope this is clear to the questioner. Next.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question. Some charity shops in the UK sell clothing and homeware. Is it allowed to buy from them? We don't know how they use their money. And is it allowed to donate to them like furniture?
So these charity shops in the UK sell clothing and homeware. Is it allowed to buy from them? We don't know how they use the money. You see, okay. Now these charity shops, you should not doubt that they are using the charity people are giving them, and they are opening shops and things like that. You should not doubt them. Okay. Unless you are sure that the amount of zakah and money and this is used in this way, that's different. But if you have no evidence and this charity organization, they have this shop and to generate revenue for the also helping the poor people and the needy, then there's no harm in buying from such shops. What's the problem? As a matter of fact, you will be helping them, inshallah. Okay, and then the question, another part of the question, is it allowed to donate to them? If they are trustworthy and the charity and the donations and whatever people donate, they deliver to the needy, to the those who are in need, why not? Jazakumullah khair. But of course, all the charity organizations, they should have a body to monitor. They should have people of knowledge with them, okay, to guide them so that they will not make any mistake. Okay, so for example, if I give you the zakah, my zakah has to be has to reach the poor. That's why I'm giving you my zakah. You are not allowed to do because you are just a facilitator. You are just a facilitator. Okay, acting on my behalf. You have no right to behave or to spend this money in a way different than what I intended. This is a card to be given to the poor. Okay. This is money. Give it money to the poor. Not that you go there and you buy food for them. And who told you that they need food? Give them the money and it's up to them whether to buy food or clothes or pay the they declared their debts, whatever. You give them the money. Next question.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question. Is it allowed to get married following the Islamic law of the future wife if the future wife does not have the father's surname? When the future wife is not married but is looking to change it to the father's surname, what if the possible future husband will refuse the marriage because of this issue?
To be honest, let me try to understand the question. If the future wife does not have the father surname, so what name she has? Okay, because you should not change your name. Ask the questioner, please, to clarify this question to me.
Inshallah, I'll do. Do you want to move on to the next question in the meantime?
Yeah, okay.
The next question, question six. I would like to know more about the virtue of Salat al-Fajr or the importance to perform in congregations, because also Isa alayhi salam is descending on the Fajr Salah. And is it true that Hujjaj released Adhabi after confirming that he had attended the Jama'ah?
Okay. Of course, Salat al-Fajr very important. Allah called Salat al-Fajr Quran al-Fajr. In the Quran al-Fajr kana mashhuda. Allah called Salat al-Fajr Quran al-Fajr because the Quran is recited in the Fajr prayer longer, for a long time. And Salat al-Fajr is witnessed with the Malaika, because they are Malaika, spend the night with us. Fajr time, they go to Allah, replaced by another group of Malaika. So Salat al-Fajr, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, Man salla al-bardayni dakhala al-jannah. He who prays the Fajr prayer and the Isha prayer will enter the Jannah. Okay. The one who prays the Fajr prayer, fi dhimmatillah, he's protected, okay, because Allah, this protection was granted for him, his safety. Allah grants him protection. And that's why the questioner mentioned the story that a man captured by Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. And Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was a dictator. He wanted to kill this man. Then Abdullah ibn Umar and his son Salim entered upon the Hajjaj. So Hajjaj told Salim, take this man and kill him. So Salim, he told the man, did you pray the Fajr today? He said, yes. He said, okay, go, run. Al-Hajjaj asked him, did you kill him? He said, no. He went. Why? He said, because the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And then Abdullah ibn Umar narrated the hadith to Al-Hajjaj, and he kept quiet. Next question.
The questioner has clarified for question six. So they are coming from a Christian background, and the parents, due to parents' issues, they ended up not having the father's surname. Legally, now they can be changed after being at the mature age.
Okay, so what is the name in the document? Okay, the name in the document, that is her name. Okay, let's say it is in the passport. The name is Alex. Okay, a man, for example, and he became a Muslim. His name now is Muhammad Ali, whatever. Okay. And he got married, okay, either with that name, which is in the document, or the name that he chose. What matters here is the person himself is the same person. Okay. So now the one who is writing the wedlock or the marriage contract, okay, he will use the name in the document, but the marriage contract is valid because it is this individual himself is the one who got married, not somebody else. I hope this is clear to the question. Next question, please.
The next question is question seven. Is red eye considered an effect of jinn? Also, what about if children get nose bleedings for on and off?
Red eye. Someone has red eye. Is this an effect of yin? Who said so? Eye infection. Okay. Go to the eye specialist. Okay. He will give you ointment or eye drop and you will be fine. Or allergy. But see, some people, they are obsessed with this issue. The evil eye or jinn, especially the subcontinent. I have to be frank with you. Muslim from the subcontinent, everything evil eye or sihr, or jinn. What is this? The Prophet ﷺ taught you how to protect yourself from the evil eye and how to protect yourself from the jinn. You read Ayatul Kursi before you go to sleep? No jinn, no afrit, no. One of these satans can come close to you. Read Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Qul A'udhu, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and blow in your hand and rub your body. Finish. Read in your children if they are small, young. When you are going out or to protect them or before going to sleep and finish. Not all. Oh, my eye is red. Oh, this is the jinn. Who said that? There must be something happened to your eye. Oh, now, okay. Or children, they have nasal bleedings. Yeah, nasal bleedings, it happens. Because sometimes some people, when the blood pressure is high, the nerves or the capillary tubes, they rupture, so they bleed. So that has nothing to do with the jinn, nasal bleedings. So have tawakkul, have good aqidah, good iman, and the jinn, they will run away. Don't you see, know that the Prophet ﷺ said, if you close your door and lock it and you say Bismillah, all the jinn in the world cannot unlock it. All the jinn, they cannot unlock it. If you have food and there is no lid to cover the plate, put a straw or anything and say Bismillah, and that's enough. Next.
Barakallahu fikum. Question 8. Just clarifying on the previous questions. Shall I get rid of the plate if it has gold paint as well? And shall I get rid of the bone china?
You can sell it. This gold plate, you can sell it to those who are selling. Okay, and use the money. Or you can give it to, if you have a friend who is not a Muslim or something, or your family who is not a Muslim. But don't eat in it. Don't eat in it. So if you have these plates, plates that are made of something doubtful, don't eat in them. Don't eat in them.
Sheikh, does that include gold paint as well?
Sorry?
Does that include gold paint? If the
No, you don't eat gold plate. Plated gold.
If the plate has paint on it, the gold paint, not made of gold, but gold paint, is that also prohibited? Is what the question is asking.
You mean the plate is plated?
Painted.
Painted, yes.
Yeah.
Painted, yes. There is a very small layer on it. So don't eat in it. Though we know in the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ had bowl or plate got broken. So he used wire of silver to keep it together, to tie it. So the ulama, they said here that because the to tie and to keep the utensil intact, and the Prophet ﷺ used that. But it's different from this plate that it is painted and I put the food on it. It is a sign of extravagance, and so there is no necessity, there is no need here to use that hadith, for example, for such example mentioned here. I mentioned that just in case someone pops that question or raise that issue. Is it clear to the questioner?
Inshallah. Barakallahu fikum. Sheikh, we have one more question. Question 9. Can you read it and see if you'd like to answer it?
Sorry, Akhi, I didn't hear you.
I've sent question 9. Please, could you read it and see if you'd like to answer it?
Okay, this question. Okay. Family are giving her this person tough time. Okay. Mistreating, making him or her suffer. What to do? The sabr, patience. Try to be patient. Besides the sabr, if they are causing damage to you, affecting you, and unjustly and without any valid reason, and you are able to move away from them so that you will live in peace, do so. And you are not sinful. Okay, because there are cases where the family, they are unkind and they are causing the life of their children, make it miserable. Maybe the life of the daughter-in-law, or the whatever. There are situations like that. So if you can't cope with the situation, that's well and fine, and you say, no, I will be patient and tolerate it. That's up to you. But when it is beyond your control, your capacity, then you can move out if you can. Okay. So that you will have peace of mind. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Barakallahu fikum. The next question, Sheikh. My current surname or maiden name is X and my father's surname is Y, meaning it is different. What if my future husband will not accept the marriage due to this issue when the intention is to change my surname in the future, but it will take time?
You are not married, so and he is saying, I will not accept this. It's up to him. He doesn't want to marry you because he doesn't want this because of this problem. Try to explain to him, okay, that you will, I mean, will take time to change the name, etc. If you say no, I don't want, then he is not your nasib, we say in Arabic. He is not meant for you, and Allah will send you a better one, inshallah. Next question.
Inshallah, barakallahu fikum. The next question, is it permissible to trade t-shirts which has names of football players on the back just to have the names on it?
They have the names and the pictures, photos.
Just have the names, no photos, I believe, Sheikh.
We cannot say it is haram. No. Okay, but I mean, why you are, because here, but here you are actually advocating and telling the people to emulate and imitate those footballers and especially the youth, Muslim youth. But if you are selling this to non-Muslims, there's no harm in that. But if there are pictures, or in that case, you should not sell them. Silver spoons are not allowed. Yes, you cannot eat with silver spoons. Next.
Barakallahu fikum. The last question is in extension to question 9. In terms of knowing Allah is trying to do in this situation when those family members are unkind and try to cut you off, is there any answers to understand?
This is a question about the family. Okay. I think I explained that now the family members are unkind and they are making your life miserable and you might become sick because of them. So if you can move and stay away from them, do so. Okay. But if you think that you can Remain patient and tolerate what they are doing to you. May Allah strengthen your iman and reward you for your patience. But you are at liberty to move, to step out. Say, sorry, I cannot take it. But of course, you don't sever and cut the ties. You keep talking to them, calling them, or visiting them occasionally. But at least now you are by yourself and you are feeling safe and you are not suffering. Otherwise, they will drive you crazy. They will, or maybe your health will deteriorate. May Allah guide them and may Allah save you and strengthen your iman and protect you from all evils. Ameen. Next.
I mean, this was the last question, Sheikh. May Allah bless you all for your attendance. I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to conclude the lesson. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair, my dear brothers and sisters, for your patience and attendance. Looking forward, inshallah, to seeing you in the coming session. Until we meet again, inshallah, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.